Erg session number 16433, reel 3.
Dr. Bruegel, reel 3. Mm-hmm. So, you were telling me about your studies at the Royal Frey.
Yes. By this time, I got married and lived very near the Royal Free. Because most of the students at the Royal Free were evacuated. There was only a small part of students in the clinical semesters who were in London. But I didn't have to go into the country because I was married. And I did about from 1941 till the various clinical posts and took examination at the conjoint board and passed in November 42. I didn't find it very difficult. I had a lot of help. I had an advantage because I knew English much better than the other soldier boys, because they didn't know hardly any English, so they had great difficulties. And I finished my last examination about December 1942. And then came the queer situation that what the kind of degree to give us. Because I had the conjoint examination, but this degree was supposed to be also had to be valuable also in Czechoslovakia, because everybody wanted to go back and didn't want to do any the examinations again. So what happened was that Oxford University adopted the Prague University, which was closed. And why Oxford? Because in 1350 or something like that, the Oxford University was created by Czech scholars who came with Queen Anne of Bohemia and married Richard II. And they went to Oxford and they established the university. So because of this, Oxford University adopted the Czechoslovak university. So I got this diploma in Oxford in a great kind of glory. I have a photograph of this. I will give it to you.
What kind of diploma was it called?
It was called M.D. Czechoslovakia. Well, that was it. I got my first house job in Princess Beatrice Hospital in Royal Marsden in Kensington for 6 months. I was pregnant. I had my first, my son in September 43. And that was comparatively a very quiet time. I did a little bit of work, but there was not much, you know, it was an time in the war comparatively quiet. When it really got serious again was, well, the invasion, the afterwards, after the invasion, the V1, when I had the child, we had to be all the time in the cellars, and then we got evacuated, and we went to Wales. And while I was in Wales, in Cardiff, I went to the British Medical Association and said I was here and I could do some work. So they sent me to Clonapier Hospital that was up in the Rhondda Valley. And I could take the boy with me. And I was more or less, there was a very old doctor and myself in a big hospital. And I was comparatively junior. Yeah. And I just relied on the advice of the senior nurses, especially in obstetrics. I remember it was very difficult for me to do obstetrics, and I had no experience, but the midwife helped me. She knew much more than I did. And so I was there. And then what happened was suddenly things got very dicey there, because we got the soldiers sent to us from Arnhem, the paratroopers, who came back, and this hospital was requisitioned, and they all brought it. You know, they all came to this hospital. No, not all of them, but a part of them came to this hospital in Clonapier. At the time, whether it was before or after, I can't remember, I also went back to London for 10 days to relieve my colleague who had taken over the job at Princess Beatrice, so that she could have a holiday and I could be with my husband, because I was, he was in London. He had to be in London. So,
what job was he doing?
Well, he was a civil servant in the Czechoslovak government in exile. And he was the head of the reconstruction, Ministry of Reconstruction, planning after the war. Actually, I have something interesting to show you about this, his work. I went back to London and did my old job in this Princess Beatrice Hospital. And one night, there was a terrific bomb attack in Kensington. That must have been 44. And a hotel with American soldiers was hit, and we got all of them, and I was the only one on duty, and they all came in, everybody came into this hospital, and I was there alone. I just didn't know what, and there was a man coming in to give blood transfusions, and you know, everything was chaos. I just said, lie down, and I couldn't do much. Well, anyway, my colleagues rolled up slowly and so on, and I suppose I was some kind of reassurance, because I had a white coat on and a stethoscope, and I couldn't do very much. But they rolled up, and then we started to operate, and I assisted. And we operated the whole night, and there was a whole night where those doodle bugs going and coming all the time. She said, oh, we are so safe. It was a modern concrete building. Since the morning we discovered we had operated under a glass roof. No idea that, you know, we could be hit.
Was this the Royal Marsden?
Yes, it was part of the Royal Marsden. And the Royal Marsden was not a cancer hospital at the time. But this was Princess Beatrice. It was another very near there. So that those soldiers from which we looked after, they were not really severely injured. But they were very exhausted and very interesting, you know, the way they talked and so on. Well, that was when I got back to London by this time. At 44, while I was evacuated, there was also the attentat against Hitler in July 44. It was, you know, big thing.
The July plot.
Yes, the July plot. I mean, it was very exciting for us. But very sad. And then I got back to London. And by this time it was 45, I was expecting my second child. In May 1945, my husband went back as one of the first people to go, went back to Prague. I had my daughter in November 1945, but I had difficulties then while my husband was away, and I was here alone because the communist were kind of interfering with my life. I was supposed to get some kind of maintenance while my husband was in Prague, and they kind of stopped this. You know, it was a very bad atmosphere. Here already, because at the time in the emigration, the communists had taken very much over.
In London?
In London, especially, you know, there was this animosity against the Germans, because there was a very big German emigration here, you know, social democrats, you know, very actually. To start with, more or less, it's a Czech trust fund. Before France fell, was more or less 80% Germans. There were very few Czechs, very, very few Czechs, hardly any. And as I said before, it was mostly the communists who had something to say.
Do you mean communists? Officials in London?
No, apparatchiks who had groups in this Czech Trust Fund, and the Czech Trust Fund was very much under the influence of the communists and very much under the influence of the German communists. There was one story while I was in Canterbury Hall. There was a he was a miner. He was a social democrat. And I knew him, and he came also from France. And he didn't know a word of English. He didn't know anybody. He was a miner. He was never abroad. And he came from the area where I came from. So when he came to this Canterbury Hall, I spoke to him, you know, spoke the same language, same dialect, and I helped him a bit, because he was very much lost. So one day he called me into his room and said, would I translate for him, because the English police came to interview him. And I said yes. And so the policeman told me that he was keeping some documents for a foreign power, and that they had heard that he had these documents, and he had some knowledge about this going on. I told him, he said, I don't know one person in England, I don't know one person, how could I? You know, and I said, well, he came from France, and it must be a mistake, because he doesn't know anybody. That was in end of August 1940. And he really had come from France. So it was all right. And I said, they went away, they believed me. But he couldn't speak a word of English. So he was such a simple man. So I said, well, I don't know how they could get your name and how is that. And he said, of course I had the document. My comrades gave it to me. He was... So
he was a communist.
Yes. You know, but it was also very much interlaced, the whole business.
So the foreign power was Russia?
Yeah. They really did spy. I mean, they also imprisoned some of those people. Yeah. In the imperialistic war, that was.
But in 1945, the communist influence in the Czech Trust Fund stopped you getting money from Prague?
Yes. I don't know the details whether I was supposed to get... No, I didn't mean to get money from Prague because there was no exchange. My husband couldn't send any money. I was supposed to get money for subsistence from the Czech Trust Fund again. That was it. It wasn't from Prague. It was from the Czech Trust Fund.
But why should they want to interfere with this money?
Because my husband kind of fought against the communists. I mean, he was well known. And he was also in disagreement about this expulsion of the Sudeten Germans. I mean, he was strongly against it, but the communists were for it. They changed. The communists changed very much because they were very much against it. And I have a thing here, and I know that even in Moscow, the communists were still against the expulsion of the thing. And they changed from one minute to the other because they saw a great advantage in demoralizing the population. And they were then in the lead, there and here, to go against everybody who was not on the line. So they left me without any money.
Were you in financial difficulties?
No, I wasn't. No, we had saved money. But I mean, it was kind of moral pressure. And my husband, of course, experienced this very much. And he...
So did he want you then to go to Prague?
Yes, that was a great mistake. He ought not to have done this, but we make mistakes. Because I went with this baby on a train from London to Prague. It took 4 hours. Four days. Yeah.
Is this 46?
It was February 46. February 46.
What job was your husband doing in Prague by then?
He was a head. The legal, he had a law degree, yes, and he was the head of the Ministry of Industry, was the legal department, and he saw all this nationalization and how the communists infiltrated every power position, but mostly he was concerned that they, you know, this expulsion of the wholesale expulsion and the cruelty and so on. He was appointed as on the committee for to help the anti-fascist or the anti-Nazi Germans to defend themselves, not to be expelled, and not to be treated badly. But he could do very little. He only helped the university professors who were really anti-Nazis and old MPs, German MPs. There were lots of German MPs in the Czech parliament, and they were persecuted. And it was very nasty. The people who really had fought against the Nazis. And the soldiers who came back from here, who were also anti-Nazis, who fought on the Czech, in the Czech army. So,
what happened to you once you got to Prague?
Oh, when I got to Prague, my husband had a very nice apartment. We had my husband had rescued the previous secretary of the Social Democratic Party, you know, secretary, a woman secretary, and she was imprisoned in Pancras, in the prison, just completely innocent, because she was just walking on the street, and they came up to her and said that you were German, and they took her straight into the prison. And he got her out from there and took her to our flat, and she looked after my children. But they came all the time to take her away, and we had lots of troubles and so on. It was very unpleasant. I mean, it was horrible. And so my husband said he saw that the communists were coming, so he told his minister, who was a friend of his, to say he didn't want to stay. He wanted to go back to England. And so they got him. They were quite happy to get rid of him. So they got him the permission to go to England as a study leave. And that was the end of, very end of 46.
Were you happy to go back to Britain?
I was very confused. I was very confused by the whole affair. And we got back, we exchanged our flat in Prague with somebody here. That's why we live in this area, because this man wanted to go back to Prague. So we said, well, we'll stay in your flat and you stay in our flat for a year and then we'll see what happens. He was very happy to get our very lovely place, and we were here. They stopped any kind of money after 2 months, and we had nothing. We just had our some money left from the war, during the war, which we had saved. And my husband couldn't work because he came here on diplomatic papers, and I couldn't work because I was the wife of my husband. And so for about a year we really had great difficulties with 2 children. And mostly people didn't understand what was going on, because they said, you have got a marvelous democratic country and why don't you stay there, and so on. But then I got the permission to work, and by 1948, just before the communists take over, my husband got permission to work. And I wanted to go back and get my things. We left everything there. And then by February 1948, the communists had taken over. So I have still got to say the position of my husband, because when he was employed as a civil servant in the first instance, he was employed on the German sector, because in the Czech Republic there were so and so many people had to be of German nationality and Czech nationality. So he was actually on the German quota. They wanted him to say he's Czech, because he was absolutely bilingual. But he didn't want to. He said, in principle, he stayed on the German quota, and he thought it was great injustice what was done there. And that's what happened.
What kind of a job did you get eventually once you got permission to work again in Britain?
Oh, I got a job as a resident doctor in West Ham for a year, and I had to live there, and it was a very interesting job.